species to lure victims, but this is the first example of a predator mimicking sounds to attract victims. This moment of science comes from Indiana University. There are hundreds more moments of science on our website at amomentofscience.org, where you can also view videos and sign up for podcasts. For A Moment of Science, I'm Don Glass.
Support for WILL comes from World Harvest International and Gourmet Foods on the corner of 6th and University in Champaign, providing Champaign-Urbana with a wide array of foods from around the world, including cheeses, olives, spices, hot sauces, olive oils, and more. World Harvest invites you to join them in supporting public radio.
It's 2:41. Former Chicago Cub Andre Dawson has been elected to the Hall of Fame, while Bert Blyleven and Roberto Alomar fell just short of earning baseball's highest honor. Dawson received 420 of 539 votes in voting announced today by the Baseball Writers Association of America, 15 more than the 75% necessary to gain election. The eight-time All-Star appearing on the ballot for the ninth time had fallen 44 votes short last year. Mike Shanahan says he's excited and honored to take the reins of the Washington Redskins. Shanahan was introduced today as the team's head coach and executive vice president. He signed a five-year deal averaging approximately $7 million annually with his final approval and has final approval on personnel decisions. Former St. Louis Rams coach Mike Martz says he's interested in becoming the offensive coordinator of the Chicago Bears, but he says the team hasn't contacted him yet after firing Ron Turner, who is a former coach of the University of Illinois football team. And DePaul faces a top 10 opponent tonight in suburban Philadelphia, taking on Villanova in a Big East Conference game. The sixth-ranked Wildcats are 12-1, but dodged a bullet in their Big East opener, edging Marquette 74-72. That's sports. One thing we hear frequently from the Obama administration is that when it comes to the environment, science should set the agenda. But right now, the chemical industry is accusing the administration of abandoning that idea. Sean Ali reports it has to do with the science behind a potent toxin.
President George W. Bush took it on the chin when it came to the environment. One accusation is that he ignored science that suggested we should get tougher on greenhouse gas emissions. President Obama's administrator at the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency is Lisa Jackson. She said things would be different.
On my first day, I sent a memo to every EPA employee stating that our path would be guided by the best science and by the rule of law, and that every action we took would be subject to unparalleled transparency.
Well, it hasn't taken long for the chemical industry to say Obama's administration is backtracking.
There's been this notion to get stuff done and get it done fast.
That's David Fisher, an attorney for the American Chemistry Council. Fisher is concerned about new standards on dioxins. Dioxins are byproducts from producing chemicals. They also get into the environment from burning trash and wood. Now, the government says dioxin causes cancer and reproductive and developmental diseases. It's known this for decades, but it's been finishing a report to show exactly how toxic dioxins are. It's been writing this so-called dioxin reassessment for 18 years, and it was supposed to put out a draft last week, but it didn't do that, and it hasn't said when it will. That didn't stop the EPA from proposing a new rule about how much dioxin should be allowed in soil in people's yards. Fisher says that rule should have waited.
If they're going to base interim goals on the best available science, which they have in fact stated that they plan to, it's sort of hard to imagine how you can do that before the reassessment itself is finished, because that, after all, does represent or should represent the best available science.
The chemical industry is concerned because dozens of sites across the country are contaminated with dioxins, and the rule would lower the amount of dioxin allowed in residential soil. It would go from 1,000 parts per trillion to 72 parts per trillion. That's a drop of more than 90%. Fisher says that could cost companies millions of dollars in extra cleanup costs.
And again, that begs the question, why?
One accusation is that the Obama administration wanted to finalize dioxin soil regulations in time to coincide with controversial ongoing dioxin cleanups, such as a large one in central Michigan. The EPA did not answer this question directly and wouldn't provide an interview in time for this report, but it did say it's got sound science to justify the proposed dioxin rule. Now, you might ask why this matters. Well, just look at central Michigan, where there's a large ongoing dioxin cleanup. Linda Dykema works with Michigan's Department of Community Health. She creates state standards on how much dioxin should be allowed in water, fish, and soil. To protect people in Michigan, she needs help from the EPA.
We rely a great deal on federal agencies to provide us with some hazard assessments for chemicals. The ability of the state public health staff to do those kind of assessments is pretty limited. They have some very well-known, respected researchers on their staff, and they can do work that needs to be done and that we can't do here at the state.
And a ruling on dioxin levels in soil should help Dykema. But actually, this move by the EPA might cause more problems than it solves. For years, the chemical industry has argued the science behind dioxin is not complete. This proposed soil rule gives the chemical industry another chance to say, here we go again. And it gives it the justification to fight a rule the EPA insists protects people's health. For the Environment Report, I'm Sean Ali.
The road to success in Hollywood does not normally lead through Harvard Medical School, but there are exceptions, and Valerie Weiss hopes to be one of them. After earning a PhD from Harvard, she's left the lab for a different career. NPR's Joe Palca has her story.
When she was in graduate school, Valerie Weiss studied an enzyme called arginine methyl transferase. Never mind what that does, just understand that it's important in cells. Weiss was trying to figure out the enzyme's three-dimensional shape.
The idea is that how something is shaped has a huge effect on its function, because really molecules are just kind of like Legos fitting together, interacting, and then, you know, chemistry happens and the molecules change.
We're sitting in an outdoor cafe a few blocks south of Hollywood. Weiss enjoyed her graduate work because it helped her understand how the cells inside our bodies function.
I think the whole reason I even went into science is because I love to know how things work, and the answer to a why question just would lead to another why question. At least that's what my mom tells me I was like.
Okay, so you're understanding the nature of the universe, and you're a why kind of person, and you're always asking questions, and then you give it up. What's up with that?
I know. What is up with that? I ask myself that all the time. My parents certainly ask themselves that all the time.
She gave up science because she had a career itch she needed to scratch. Weiss says science tends to be very specialized these days, and her interests are more eclectic.
At the same time that I was interested in science, I was really interested in theater. And I think for the same reason, just why do people relate to each other the way they do? Why is the world the way it is? I think I like asking that question on every level.
That's not to say she's abandoned science. In fact, the film she's making now is set in part in the lab.
The film's called Losing Control, and it's about a female scientist who wants proof that her boyfriend's the one.
Okay, it's a bit of a stretch. Science is a blunt tool when it comes to matters of the heart. But this is a comedy, and Weiss says the film is definitely science-y.
Science is absolutely interwoven in every aspect of this film. It's going to be a funny, funny movie that happens to be about scientists.
Weiss has several financial backers for her film, but this is still a low-budget affair.
All right, here we go. Ready?
Still, maybe. Visit the set, and it looks like a Hollywood movie, albeit on a smaller scale.
Okay, so we'll go for a full rehearsal here?
Weiss and her crew have taken over a lab at Xencor, a biotech company in Monrovia, California.
Super far off for what? Kelly's going to bring it right over to you right now. Right, Kelly?
Strong lights are everywhere. Electric cables snake across the floor.
Right, please.
Weiss and her cameraman, Jamie Ehrman, confer about the best angle for the next scene.
Okay, guys.
Weiss is producer, writer, and director of Losing Control. They're shooting a key scene, and there have been a lot of takes. Now they're ready to try again.
Close out quiet, please.
Action. Oh, sorry.
Weiss jumps the gun a bit. Then it is time.
Action!
Weiss asked me not to record while they were shooting. As I said, this is a key scene. She doesn't want to give anything away. Science doesn't show up in a lot of films, not real science anyway. Valerie Weiss wants to change that.
Why not science? It is fun, it is sexy, and, you know, it's a really rich, untapped area that I'm excited to explore.
And maybe show that scientists are smart people with problems and ideas and dreams, just like everyone else. Joe Palca, NPR News.
Around the world, people have spent more than $1 billion to see a human who defends the blue-skinned natives of a moon called Pandora. That's one of two big hits about to be discussed in this next feature. The other is the number one single on the Billboard Hot 100 right now, TikTok by Keisha. NPR's Netta Ulaby and Zoe Chase say these two hits have something in common. They're both totally derivative.
Okay, Zoe, when I saw Avatar, I was overwhelmed by how everything in the story has been in some other movie. Every other movie.
You are not in Kansas anymore. You are on Pandora.
The Wizard of Oz, The Last of the Mohicans.
You know, Pocahontas had the Tree of Life, just like Avatar.
Right.
And the movie is just the ultimate mashup of colonialist fantasies that we've all seen, like The Last Samurai, Lawrence of Arabia.
Outsider wants to be the natives.
To become Aronio, Hunter, you must choose your own Ikran, and he must choose you.
When?
When you are ready.
Outsider wants to save the natives.
Outsider becomes king of the natives. Dances with wolves.
I'd never really known who John Dunbar was. Perhaps the name itself had no meaning. But as I heard my Sioux name being called over and over, I knew for the first time who I really was.
So, Zoe, do you suppose that James Cameron was purposefully trying to reference all of these movies when he made Avatar?
One would hope so. Netta, there's a song at the top of the pop charts right now, and it's called TikTok, and it's also incredibly derivative of basically every major theme that's ever run through pop music ever. Don't stop, make it pop, DJ, blow my speakers up. Tonight, I'ma fight till we see the sunlight. The lyrics mean nothing, and the song is about nothing, and it's not actually a very good song, in my opinion, but it sounds enough like a good song so that you can't quite tell the difference.
You know, when you listen to that song, you can't help but notice how heavily produced it is.
I know. The producers took her voice and just ran it through over and over and over. And the production process is kind of the same with Avatar. You know, it's just laid on so thick, you can't help but think about how produced it is.
Yeah. Build me up, you break me down, my heart it pounds, yeah, you got. What's the singer's name again?
It's Kesha. And yes, that is spelled K to the E to the dollar sign to the H to the A.
She spells her name with a dollar sign?
Yeah.
When you channel and put together so many pop, cultural, and hip-hop memes, but you don't have a real story to tell, you kind of got nothing. Which is why Avatar is an unbelievably brilliant picture to look at, but the story just doesn't match the visuals in terms of the sophistication. And, you know, if it did, it would be best picture.
And that's exactly what you hope for in a situation like this with a movie like Avatar that has so much behind it, or in TikTok, which everybody is listening to, is that some genius producer has created this montage of tropes next to each other, like a bunch of movie scripts in a blender, to make a larger point. But if you're just employing a bunch of tired old tropes and you don't have a smart point to make about it, then you're just tired.
You know what? At least they're provoking us and probably tons and tons of other people to have a conversation.
I'm Zoe Chase.
I'm Netta Ulaby, NPR News. Don't
stop, make it pop. It's 2:54. This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. Our technical director is Henry Frame. Let's take some time now to look at the weather and what is headed our way. Let's begin with the Illinois and Indiana weather forecast. I'll run down the winter storm warning, which is in effect for far west central Illinois until tomorrow evening, northwestern Illinois from this evening through tomorrow evening, the metro east area of St. Louis from this evening until tomorrow evening, for north, central, and northeastern Illinois and far northwestern Indiana from 9 p.m. this evening until 9 a.m. on Friday, for much of central and east central Illinois from 9 p.m. this evening through 6 a.m. on Friday, southern Illinois and far southwestern Indiana from midnight tonight until tomorrow evening. Winter weather advisory in effect for a portion of southwestern Illinois from this evening through tomorrow evening, a portion of east central and southeastern Illinois from 9 p.m. this evening to 6 p.m. on Friday. And let's take a look up The next page, we continue our winter storm advisories with a winter storm watch, which is in effect for these areas: north central and northeastern Illinois, and central and east central and portions of southeastern Illinois, and for far northwestern Indiana from this evening until early Friday morning. Porter County, Indiana, from this evening until Friday evening. North central, northeastern, and across all of central Indiana from early tomorrow morning until early Friday morning. South central Indiana from late tonight through tomorrow afternoon, and far southeastern Indiana from early tomorrow morning through tomorrow evening. I guess long story short, Illinois and Indiana, one way or another, is going to be affected by this winter storm, which is headed our way. In the WYLL severe weather coverage area, winter storm warning for heavy snow and blowing snow in effect for Champaign, Christian, DeWitt, Logan, Macon, McLean, Piatt, Sangamon, and Vermilion counties from 9 o'clock this evening through 6 o'clock Friday morning. Winter storm warning for heavy snow in effect for Ford, Iroquois, and Livingston counties from 9 p.m. this evening through 9 a.m. on Friday. And a winter weather advisory for snow and blowing snow is in effect for Clark, Coles, Cumberland, Douglas, Edgar, Moultrie, and Shelby counties from 9 p.m. this evening through 6 a.m. on Friday morning. So we've had an update here in terms of we are now under a winter storm warning in Champaign County, as well as Christian, DeWitt, Logan, Macon, McLean, Piatt, Sangamon, and Vermilion counties, and Ford, Iroquois, and Livingston counties. Stay tuned to AM 580 for the latest on the weather coming up this afternoon during All Things Considered. Mike Sola will be in at 4:33 with a look at the weather. Tomorrow morning during Morning Edition, Ed Kieser will be in with a look at the weather, and they'll do a special edition of Talk to Ed at 7:50.
Earth and Sky.
50% of kids under the age of 3 are malnourished in India, despite this rapid economic growth.
You're listening to economist Lawrence Haddad of the University of Sussex in the UK. In 2009, he published an overview of studies by 30 Indian scientists on the causes of malnutrition in India. Haddad said that malnutrition is caused by more than a simple lack of food.
Malnutrition is about dirty water, which makes a kid so sick that even if they can get food to eat, they can't absorb it in their guts. Malnutrition is about parents not having enough time or knowledge to feed their kids every hour when they're very young or with the right kinds of food.
Haddad told Earth Sky that malnutrition in India remains something of a mystery. He said that in other developing countries, when income goes up, malnutrition goes down by 3-4%. But even with India's booming economy, the numbers of malnourished children have remained practically the same. Haddad's research has led him to believe that the problem may rest with lack of government organization in India.
Malnutrition is one of those issues that falls between a number of ministries, a number of departments. It's everybody's.